Well, good evening and Merry Christmas to all. Let's try that again. Come on. It's Christmas Eve. Okay. Merry Christmas to all. Okay, we're kind of not all together on the same page. Okay. I'm going to say Merry Christmas on a count of three. You respond. Merry Christmas. One, two, three. Okay. There, you can do it. See, very good. See, we're all the oars in the water and pulling in the same direction at the same time. So, but to all, particularly all of our guests, welcome. What a blessing it is that you're here. What a blessing it is that we're now all of us together for the offering of this Mass on this wonderful Christmas Eve. So the behalf of myself, and of all the parish staff, the deacons, and all, again, a Merry Christmas to celebrate the Nativity of the Lord. And my thanks to all the efforts that went in to decorate the church this afternoon. Very short time to get all the decorations up. My thanks also to all those involved in the special music for tonight, tomorrow, the children who are singing at this Mass, the ones who sang before the Mass, and all the liturgical ministers and all those who have taken part in our parish Advent events in preparation for tonight's celebration of the Nativity of the Lord. Now, yesterday we received an early Christmas gift. Snow. On the eve of Christmas Eve. Enough to make it fun and peaceful, but not so much as to make a mess. So that too is a gift. Another gift with the cold weather of winter is for many the end of the seasonal allergies. And I have now joined that number. And over the last year or so, I've had to take a prescription eye drop. I have some kind of allergy that affects my eyes. So if you see me walking around, my eyes are all red and bloodshot. I have not been up all night running around doing things. Those allergies go back. So I have a prescription drops, which the label says, use as needed, which I do. Now, such labels are useful, especially when applied to medication, but not so much when applied to other things. Important to recall, particularly on this night, they probably should not be applied to God or to religion. As I've said repeatedly during this time of Advent, the days leading up to this night, that it will be as much of a Christian observance of Advent and of Christmas as we choose to make it. And not just because of the commercialization or of the season or because it's the holiday season rather than the Christmas season, for something far more important and far of a greater threat. Because it's the near universal push in our society to see religion simply as a type of therapeutic experience, a comforting feeling that we may seek at times and use as needed. Of this phenomenon, Ulrich Lehrer, who is a professor at Marquette University, says that when we do this, what we're doing is that we're robbing God of that awe-inspiring mystery. God is no longer a person, no longer involved in our lives. The divine and profound reality of creation is reduced to a moral law. And it's no longer the ultimate reality that we seek, but instead, it's a sentimental feeling. Or as he says, a sugar-coated grace. One that is not worth dying for, little less worth changing your life for either. Christmas, seen and celebrated through the eyes of disciples, as us as the church, challenges us to push back against treating God and religion as a feel-good or sugar-coated grace. For what we celebrate tonight, in union with millions of brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, is not a sentimental feeling. Rather, it is the gift of the incarnation that the creative power of God, the Word of God, God the Son, breaks into our physical world, taking on our humanity in all things but sin in the person of Jesus. The divine life of God is shared with us. The fullness of our humanity is thus to be experienced through Him. Because as the early church fathers put it, they said, God became one of us so that we can become like God. That's the incarnation that we celebrate tonight. For the incarnation means that God exists, that God is real, and that God shows up. And not simply as a feeling or to be used as needed, and shows up in the most unexpected ways. Doesn't show up amongst the rich and powerful as we would normally think, because that's the way the world works. We see this in nature. We know the dog that's got the biggest fight in him is the one that leads the pack. And the nations that have the most wealth, the greatest power, they're the ones that establish the biggest empires. And also we see this in ancient mythologies, whether it's the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Norse. Those are gods of power. Zeus on Olympus with the thunderbolts. Thor and Asgard with his hammer. But that's not the incarnation. Because the incarnation is not a myth. God shows up. And shows up among the poor and powerless. Joseph and Mary were not on some holiday vacation when they stopped in Bethlehem. They were among the powerless who were being pushed around by the powerful. And God shows up. In the incarnation, the Word of God becomes flesh in the most vulnerable way possible. I know that we make a great big thing about the baby Jesus. We were discussing before the Mass about people who had baby Jesus stolen out of their front yards in the nativity scenes, and kind of wondering what the, you know, description of baby Jesus would be, you know, to the police. You know, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, swaddling clothes. You know, answers the name of Jesus. You know, kind of. I'd like to see that in a police report. We're making a big about baby Jesus, but I was in a discussion group not long ago about the incarnation, and one of the members said something that floored me because I never thought of it this way. About the vulnerability that God takes on in the incarnation. God just not only becomes a baby, God becomes an embryo. God becomes an embryo. How more vulnerable could you be? And God shows up. In the incarnation, that is that undeserved gift, that unexpected, shattering all expectations, the undeserved gift of divine love and mercy given to transform us into children of God in the process of daily sanctification, because God is real and God shows up. And no matter how strong the push may be to reduce God to a feeling, to be used only as needed, no matter how spiritually distracted we may be, no matter how dulled our hearts may become to the need for divine mercy, we know that in our hearts it lies, maybe dormant for much of the time, the knowledge that sugar-coated grace is not enough. That's why we're drawn to those moments in which we see the effects of the incarnation come to life. Sometimes it's in the church's liturgy, when celebrated with great beauty and reverence and joy. As hopefully, as we particularly on such great days such as Christmas Eve. And also, we see the effects of the incarnation in people. I'll offer but one example, one close to home. It was no accident that in September of this year, 20,000 of us showed up in Oklahoma City for the beatification of a man that hardly any of us ever met. Blessed Father Stanley Rother. The missionary and martyr. The Oklahoma farm boy who, against the odds, became a priest. Against expectations, became a missionary in Guatemala who refused to remain silent when the powerful were pushing around the powerless. The shepherd who did not run when his people were in danger. Rother knew that the incarnation was real. It was real in his priesthood. It was real in the people that he served, that he loved as their pastor. It transformed him. That God is involved in our lives, the profound reality, who is Jesus. And that profound reality, the incarnation, is worth changing our lives for. And as Rother showed us, it's also worth dying for. Because God is real. and God shows up. Especially in the most unlikely of places and not only as needed. And that's what this night challenges us to see. The reality of God on this eve of Christmas, to rejoice in the nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh for our salvation. For us to see, for us to celebrate, and for us to live. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.